I want to welcome everybody to the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision session with our longtime member and a person who has done multiple presentations for us, Dr. Bill. And Dr. Bill is going to talk about some low vision devices that in the field of technology. So Dr. Bill, welcome.
Very much, Bernice. First of all, just want to apologize. I've been recovering meningitis, so my voice isn't real nice and things, but I didn't want to cancel out on Bernice because she would not be happy with me. Huh, Bernice?
You sound fine.
But it's really a real pleasure for me to be able to come here and to speak today and to see all the time so many people that I haven't seen in a while, and I recognize the importance of so many people who are members of the CCB and how they affect the lives of people who have low vision or who are blind. So thank you. This morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about some of the newer developments in the field of tools and visual aids to help people with low vision. It is truly a very, very exciting time. A very exciting time in the field of low vision. And I have never seen so many new developments that are so promising and so exciting. For many of you who maybe have never met me or don't know about my story, I am a low vision optometrist. And I graduated from the Southern California College of Optometry in 1987 and met a Dr. Samuel Janinski. He was a wonderful man who founded the Center for the Partially Sighted, and he offered me a job to be there as a low vision optometrist. And it was something that was just so wonderful to be able to go to work every day and to help improve a person's life. Well, ironically, in 2003, I developed my own retinal condition, something that was called cone rod degeneration, and by 2009, I became totally blind. And for many of you, you may be going through a loss of vision yourself, and I do pray that none of you go totally blind. But I did learn something from this. And what I learned, and listen carefully, what I learned was that all of the fear that I had, all the fear that I had in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, I was so worried that one day I would be blind. And everything that I was so worried about, it was actually not accurate. I thought that if I become blind, totally blind, life would not be worth living. I wouldn't be able to see books to read. I couldn't watch television. I wouldn't be able to watch my kids grow. I didn't even want to go out. My wife would always want to take me out to lunch or dinner, and I didn't want to go out because I was so concerned that I might stumble over a brick or a step and someone would laugh at me. But when I did become totally blind, I then realized it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. And when I was totally blind, I had no choice. It's either I sit at home and do absolutely nothing, or I learn how to do these things. I need to learn how to care for myself. And one of my patients, a gentleman by the name of Keith Christian, I don't know if he's here today or not, but this was the young man that I helped when he was going through school. And he happened to be a teacher at my daughter's middle school. And at open house, my daughter said, "Hey, Dad, this is Mr. Christian's room." I said, "I'm going to go in here and say hi." Well, I went in there and said hi, and he just grabbed me by my hand. I was so embarrassed. We were two men walking hand in hand. He goes, "Don't worry, nobody's going to think anything. I'm going to show you what we got in here." And he showed me all the projects and all the things that his students were learning to do. I just couldn't believe it. I was so impressed. And he said, "Hey, Bill, what are you doing on Saturday?" I said, "Nothing." He goes, "Okay, I'm going to be at your house at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to teach you how to use JAWS. I'm going to teach you the Braille alphabet. I'm going to teach you how to cook. I'll teach you how to do all of these things." And I said, "Oh, wait. Oh, we got to go someplace." He goes, "No, you don't. I already asked June." So the reality of it is that many times to the sighted population, they think blindness is the worst thing ever. To a person who is partially sighted, you may think that becoming more visually impaired is the worst thing. But the reality of it is not. It opens more doors. And when you learn how to do all the things that you need to do, you could live and enjoy and do everything that you wanted to do. For me, I was able to re-drywall my garage. I never knew how to drywall until Keith Christian taught me how to do that. I wanted to learn how to build a fence, and I did it. I wanted to learn to do the electrical wiring in the house again, and I did it. And later I realized that by using JAWS, learning Braille, I could go back to work. And today, I am the director of low vision at the Braille Institute of America, and I'm an adjunct professor at the M.B. Ketchum University and at Western University. So all in all, I am more productive and more effective today as a blind man as compared to when I was a sighted doctor. And I owe this to Keith Christian, because if he didn't teach me or didn't force me to get off my tail and feel sorry for myself, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So thank you very much. Now today, I'm going to talk about some magnifiers, and I have slides here. Unfortunately, I'm not set up to show you the slides. Pardon me?
I said we wouldn't be able to see it anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. If all of you are blind like me, then we're all in good hands.
That's right.
But if anybody would like slides, all right, I'll be happy to email this to you. And my email address is very easy to remember, drbillfoundation@gmail.com. So that's drbillfoundation@gmail.com.
I prefer the teeter-totter to slides.
The teeter-totter.
So when we think about vision impairment, what I need to ask, first of all, because I might be wasting my time part of this, does anybody here have any vision? Clap your hands if you do.
Very little.
Oh, okay. This is for you then. I want you to understand how the process of vision works. In a very simplified form, vision requires light. Light from whatever we're looking at, it comes into our eyes and it focuses on a tissue called the retina. Now, the retina is made up of cone cells in the center of your eye that gives us the ability to see small details, to see colors, and to read. The other cells that are on the periphery of the eye are called the rod cells that give us night vision and gives us the ability to see things off to the side. And it gives us the ability to see motion. Well, those rod and cone cells, when they receive light from whatever it is around us, it sends that information to the brain, and the brain is able to process it, and we understand what we see. So we can understand how it's very important that we have those rod and cone cells and the optic nerve that sends the information to the brain. Now, for many people who have low vision, they have difficulties seeing. They had difficulties reading or seeing colors or identifying faces because those cone cells in the center of the macula, those cone cells have become damaged. And for me, that's what happened first. The cone cells in my left eye started to die. I could not see things straight ahead of me with my left eye. And when you had that type of damage to the cone cells, you no longer could read. So the first way to help a person who has difficulties reading is simply to make things bigger. Now, for many years, we had magnifiers that could make things bigger, but there were problems with these old magnifiers. Number one, there was a lot of distortion on the edges of what you looked at. If you looked at a straight line, it would bend. The second problem with these magnifiers is that the lenses were so thick that they reduced the brightness of what you saw. So they invented magnifiers with a light, and these magnifiers help people tremendously. But many of you who have purchased these, you probably became frustrated when you had to change the battery every other day, or you had to go buy a new battery and a new bulb, both of them within a week or two. Now today, they have resolved these problems very effectively. We now have what are called LED bulbs. And with these LED bulbs, the advantage is, number one, they're much, much brighter. Number two, they last much, much longer. Number three, we can adjust the color of the light of each of these LED bulbs. And number four, we now have lens materials that are thinner and with less distortion than those other magnifiers. So as a result, we now have magnifiers that range from 2 times to 15 times, and they all have these types of lights. Now, the advantage of this new lighting system is that when you have more light, you usually need less magnification. And by having a magnifier with less magnification, you could see a wider field of the view at a time. So, for example, if you're reading with a 4x magnifier instead of a 14x magnifier, you could see the whole sentence at one time if you're reading a newspaper. But if you're reading with a 14x magnifier, bless you, you would see a couple of letters at a time. So, if you have tried magnifiers in the past, you need to try the new magnifiers that are available today. Another great thing about these magnifiers is that these magnifiers are more affordable than ever. There is competition among the companies. And one gentleman is the late Bill Mattingly. He was a very good friend of CCB. Well, his company has been taken over by his son, and they have continued to develop a wide range of magnifiers at an amazing price with also a tremendous warranty. So if any of you are wondering where can you actually try these magnifiers, you could contact your low vision optometrist or low vision ophthalmologist, Or you could contact the Braille Institute. The Braille Institute, we have locations, six of them now: Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, Rancho Mirage, Anaheim, Laguna Hills, and San Diego. And at the Braille Institute, I really wanted to change how things are running there. I realized that for many people, they do not have access to a low-vision optometrist or ophthalmologist. And we have done something that's very unique in that we have trained staff. Now, our trained staff, they are not doctors. They will not examine your eyes. But they will use the information gathered by your eye doctor. And when they know what is your diagnosis, what is your visual acuity, what is your peripheral vision, they know what would be the best visual aids for you. And they will provide you a demonstration of these types of magnifiers at no charge. Another thing that's nice about the magnifiers is that the manufacturers are now listening to you. Mattingly has now incorporated a lanyard that attaches to their magnifiers. And with this lanyard, you could go grocery shopping and you won't leave it on the shelf next to the can of pork and beans or other things. It seems very simple, but something as simple as a lanyard makes things much, much easier. Another thing that's very, very important in improving your vision is to alter the light that's coming in. We first talked about magnifying the light, but we could also alter the light that comes in. Now, depending on your eye condition, you may have an eye condition that is bothered by certain colors of light. In some cases, your ability to see certain colors is no longer there. When I first began to lose my vision, I realized I could not see the color blue at all anymore. I couldn't differentiate red from pink, and it made things very difficult. We now know that by using certain colored sunglasses, it could improve your vision. If we do a task that we need to try to improve your color vision, we could use certain colored lenses that will accentuate the colors that you're having difficulty seeing. In other cases, if your color vision is very poor, we could use different colored lenses that will change the tint of gray of what you're looking at appears to be. So if you remember watching a black and white TV show, everything is not just 100% black and 100% white. There's different shades of gray. And we could use lenses that will alter the different colored shade of gray so you could identify what is blue or what is red. If you're a person who works at an office and they happen to have forms that have blue lines where someone must sign, maybe you're having difficulty seeing which one is the blue line. Maybe the blue line looks so faded you don't even see it. Well, you could use a yellow lens, and the yellow lens will make the blue line appear black so you could see it, and you will know where to sign or where to tell that customer to sign. If you're working in an office or a building that has fluorescent lights, these fluorescent lights emit a tremendous amount of blue wavelength radiation, which is very, very dangerous to the health of the rod and cone cells. So if you have diabetic retinopathy or macular degeneration or retinitis pigmentosa, and you want to protect those cells, indoors you should wear either a yellow or an orange or an amber lens so that you will not be damaged by that blue light radiation. We will be able to write a letter to your employer or to the school, and we could ask them to replace some of these bulbs so that these bulbs emit a particular frequency of light so the blue light is not in there. And school districts and nurses at hospitals and other organizations, they have done it for our patients. If you have these kind of retinal problems and you go outdoors, you need even more protection when you're outdoors. So you should wear a brown lens. A brown or a bronze lens will filter out that blue wavelength of light. So there's a company called Live Eyewear, and they have produced a variety of tinted lenses, and they are in different size frames, and the frames are wraparound frames. So it's very, very comfortable for people to wear them. One of the problems that we had in the past was we would recommend these types of visual aids for children and adults to protect their eyes. And we would find out that they wouldn't wear them. Why don't you wear these glasses? They're going to protect your eyes. Well, the kids say, these glasses look goofy, Dr. Bill. I'm not going to wear these big old clunky glasses. But with the cocoons, they like to wear it. This is something that's trendy. The other thing is that the big other types of glasses, they often don't fit on a person's face. They just rest on their cheek, and it's hard for the person to keep them on their face. The cocoon glasses are very affordable. They're at a price of under $100. They're more so in the range of $40 to $50. So if you do need a yellow lens when you're in the grocery store, and maybe you need a gray lens or a brown lens when you're outdoors, it's something that is affordable that you could have more than one pair of sunglasses. The other thing is these particular types of visual aids that I'm talking about today. If you're a veteran, the VA will help you to get these. If you're 55 or under and you're a client at the Department of Rehabilitation, they will help to get these for you. If you have Medicaid, Medi-Cal, you could order these through Medi-Cal and Medicaid. But unfortunately, Medicare, they won't pay for all the visual aids, but we're fighting for that. Now, in cases where a person has difficulties because of the damage to the cone cells, they may have difficulties seeing across the room. As a result, you might be in a meeting like this and you can't recognize who the people are across from you. And you're just wondering, wouldn't it be great if I could just put on glasses just in this lecture so I could see faces or to see the slides or whatever that is? Well, the Ocutech is a company and they have developed telescopic glasses. Another company that's very popular is called Designs for Vision. They've been around for many, many years and they're probably still the leader. But one of the difficulties is the fact that with the Designs for Vision telescopic glasses, the glasses are not very attractive. The frames look like the frames that Clark Kent wore in Superman in the 1950s. And the telescope is just an ugly black telescope. Well, one of the things that Ocutech did is that they have modified the eyeglass frames so that they're stylish frames. They have made the telescopes even smaller, and they have made the telescopes adjustable. With these types of Keplerian, they're called Keplerian telescopes, they give the person the flexibility to focus close and to focus far. A student could use it to read from the chalkboard. They could also use it to see and read what's on the computer screen. And in the event that the child grows older and needs a larger frame, we could still keep the same telescope and just buy another fashionable frame. With these telescopic glasses, they are changing the lives for so many students. They could sit in the back of the class and read the board. They could go to college and read what's on the board. They could work and they could see the computer screen. They could work in a hospital and walk anywhere they need to. If they need to see x-rays that are farther away, they could see it. If they need to focus close, they could see it. And the glasses are not so obstructive looking that people don't want to wear it. A lot of people would just take them off. Other people will keep a cord around and just let them hang down, and they'll put them back on. And what's so interesting about this is that I was helping a child who was having problems at school seeing the board. I said, you know, I think I could help you. You want to be able to see farther away, right? He said, yes. I said, well, if I could make you a pair of glasses that you could see the board, would you wear them? Oh, I promise you, I would. And so I showed him these glasses. He put them on. He was so excited. He said, this is great. This is great. Then his dad said, excuse me, Dr. Bill, what power are these? I said, well, we can make them in any powers. He said, could you do that for a person who has normal vision too? Or is there something different about that? I said, no, it's the same telescope. He said, well, you know, I'm a cosmetic surgeon, and this would be so much lighter weight and so much more comfortable for me as compared to where the binocular telescopes that I have. So he actually bought some for himself, and he really said it was much, much better and more comfortable. So today, you got to remember that there's these telescopic glasses that are available. And in many states, a person can drive a car with telescopic glasses. I also feel that in a few years, I'm going to be driving one of these self-driving cars. I believe it's going to be ready. I believe it's going to be ready. I met a man last week, and he told me that he's suffering from glaucoma, and he wanted to know if I had glasses that I could make him that would make it safe for him to drive. And I showed him things, and after measuring his vision, he had such limited peripheral vision, I said, no, these glasses will not expand your peripheral vision enough. And he says, okay, I understand that. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Tesla dealer. I have looked at this car. I have driven this car. And did you know that they have an autopilot on the Tesla right now? I said, I didn't know that. He said, I've been driving around this rental car of the Tesla for a week. And the hardest time that I have is when I'm on the freeway in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I have to stay, you know, alert. But if I get too close, the sensors, they notice it, they put on the brakes. If I start to drift lanes to the right or the left, it sets me straight. He said, it's been something that has been remarkably helpful to him. So with all of this technology, and we could think about, there has been a few incidents with the self-driving cars. I do acknowledge that. But this is in the early stages. But if you count how many accidents that there have been in the self-driving cars, compare it to the number of accidents with the people who have normal vision. There are many, many more accidents with people who have vision than the self-driving car. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the...
Yes. Question?
Where's the microphone?
Pardon me? Do you have a question?
Yeah.
She's trying to get a microphone.
She's trying to get a microphone.
Oh, I could hear you. That's right.
Well,
this is
where this is streamed,
so she needs to be on the microphone.
I'll repeat the question so everybody could hear. No.
Okay, here we go. Thanks. My question is this. Is there equivalent to, say, something like the American Foundation of the Blind, where I can go to get kind of a overview of technical products and so on? Is there something like that on the low vision product level?
Yes, the question is there a place that she can go to and get an overview of a lot of the technical products that are available? And yes, most of the low vision agencies, they do have a technology program where you can go and see these. And many other low vision agencies will have it, and also the Braille Institutes. So where do you live? Pardon me?
What I wanted to know is, are there websites where I can go and see reviews and see product listings and so on?
Yeah, is there a place that you go to online and try these? Yeah, there's different places that you could look online, but I don't recommend that. And the reason for that is each device is going to be specific to your eyes and the way that your brain thinks. So it's always better to actually see and touch and hear. For example, one of the things that I needed to do is I needed to buy a new computer. I do a lot of lecturing. And I looked online at all of the different types of Windows computers that are available. And I read all these different reviews, and there were many recommendations that were very, very good. And when I finally went to go look at the first three that were rated as the top three in there, I could not stand the feel of the keyboard. It felt different to me. There was something wrong with the way that the keys felt. And the organization of the keys made it very difficult for me to locate where I was on the keyboard. So the first one, I said, no, I could never use this. The second one I tried, the keyboard was much better. When I loaded JAWS on there to hear what it sounded like, oh, it sounded so echoey and so tinny. The location of the speaker wasn't correct. And then I looked at the third one. And with that particular one, it was too heavy. I could understand that it's a good computer, but it was too heavy. I didn't like that. So when you only look at things online, you may not really get a true understanding of what you do or what you don't like. And I would suggest that you would go to the UC Berkeley School of Optometry. If you live right in Berkeley, that would probably be very, very convenient. Okay? Does anybody else have any other suggestions?
I think you want to check out Access World from
the American Foundation for the Blind website, they do reviews of both, well, any accessible equipment, and that includes low vision. But the thing about it is it's written by low vision people. So, you know, if somebody, if you're doing a view of the of a magnifier, at least the writer is low vision. So
that's an excellent suggestion. So you could go to read Access World, and that's at afb.net or afb.org?
Org.
afb.org. Another thing that you could also do is that if you enjoy listening to podcasts, there's an organization called Errors LA. That's www.airsla. And Errors LA, they do a wide variety of podcasts, magazines, seminars, newspaper articles, and even lectures. And that is where we often will talk about a lot of the latest types of technology that's available, so you could hear from actual users of the technology to see how does it work. We also do something here in Southern California. I believe that also Fremont School for the Blind does this also. But in the winter of each year, we do something that we call the Best in Tech. So we allow people to nominate what are their favorite pieces of technology, and we invite them to talk about that favorite piece of technology. We invite all of the vendors and folks such as you to come in and try it, and it's a real good way to try all of these things. Well, video magnifiers have been extremely popular, and many of you may know that Sam Janinsky, the founder of the center, he developed the first CCTV. Well, CCTVs have really come a long ways since then. It used to be a gigantic television set, and there was a camera, and you would have to have a 6-foot long table to put these on. Today, these video magnifiers are streamlined. They have high-definition monitors, high-resolution cameras, and they don't only magnify, but they could change the colors of the background, change the colors of the text, and they could also read for you. That's right. If your eyes become tired, they will read for you. Today, Enhanced Vision just released their latest CCTV, the Merlin Elite Pro. And this is one that you could put an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper on the tray, and it will take a picture of that entire page, scan it, and read it out loud. And this is really amazing, because the other CCTVs that would do this type of scanning, they wouldn't usually scan the whole page. You might have to scan it twice to get that page. The software that's in these CCTVs, they have the ability to read in different languages, and they're very, very quick, very fast, and very, very rapid. The next one, this slide here that I have on my computer, but this is called the Optilec Flex. And what the manufacturers also now understand is that people don't use the closed-circuit television all by itself. Maybe you have a job in the office, maybe you're a student doing homework, and you also need to connect your computer to it. So these systems are now configured so that you could easily connect your computer to the CCTV, and you could see what you're typing on your CCTV screen. We also have many, many more CCTVs that have a flexible camera
that will focus far. So if you are in the classroom, you could swivel the camera, focus it on the desk, focus it on the chalkboard, and you could see what the teacher is writing. If the teacher has written those notes, you could press a button and take a picture of it. You don't have to take notes. Take a picture of it. You'll have all the notes you need in the classroom that way. So these are extremely beneficial. Now you might wonder, what's happening to the prices of these? I mean, these are CCTVs that not only focus, they will read aloud, they could take pictures, they could focus far, they could focus close, while the prices of these video magnifiers are dropping even lower. They're dropping. They are so much better than they ever have been. And the competition between these companies is making it so that the prices are dropping. What that means is that they're even better yet for all the students. And this is why it's great. ACB, we have the CCLVI scholarship where we give out video magnifiers to those who win these scholarships. So I think this year we have 5 CCTVs that we will be giving away to lucky students that are very deserving of it. This is so wonderful, and it has increased our relationship with the makers of these CCTVs, where we invite them to the interviews. We want them to hear the stories of these kids and these adults and these grandparents. And every year, there's always a vendor. They say, I really feel bad that she didn't get one. I really feel bad that grandpa didn't get one. I know all he wants to do is see his fishing hooks, but that's important. And they end up giving them away. They will get one from their own inventory and give it away. So the work that we're doing here at the ACB and CCB, CCLVI, we're doing a lot of great. So we thank you for all your support.
And it's named after Sam Jedinsky, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would be so grateful. You know, another great thing about Sam Jedinsky, he invented that closed-circuit television when he was working at the RAND Corporation, I believe. And I then asked him one day, I said, hey, Sam, I know you invented the CCTV, and was it difficult? He goes, no, it really wasn't that difficult, and, you know, drew a few drawings and calculations, and we had it together. I said, Sam, how come you don't have a closed-circuit television company? Why aren't you selling these? He said, I just didn't believe it was right for me to keep the rights to this. He didn't feel it was fair if he who invented it kept the rights and sold them. So as a result, there are many other companies that then began to produce CCTVs. I said, that is a very generous man. He is very, very special. Now, another new device that's available is an electronic telescope. You know, we know how people could see so much better with a CCTV. The CCTVs could give us more magnification, more brightness, more contrast, more colors. It has memory to store the images. Well, why don't we do that with a telescope that we could carry and focus on things far and near? Well, Enhanced Vision over here in Huntington Beach, they did it. And this is called the Mojo. I don't know why they call it Mojo, but it might be from Star Trek or something. But the Mojo is an electronic telescope. You hold it up, push a button, it turns on, and you could zoom the magnification much more than a telescope. You know, if you look at a pair of binoculars, it might have 7x. Some of them might have 10x. While the Mojo will go all the way up to 15x. If it's too bright, you could dim it. If it's too dark, you could brighten it. If you don't like the color combination, you could change it. This is something that is amazing. And this will also focus far and near. So it will help students at school. It will help people when they're at work. Now you would also think that with a device like this, if it is suited also for reading, wouldn't it be great if you could come home and set this on a monitor and put your paper right underneath it? Well, they do have that device too. In other words, your Mojo could be converted into your CCTV in a matter of 10 seconds. And this particular device that has the monitor and the XY table, you could fold it up. You could bring it to a conference like this. Leave it in your room. If you got a lot of reading, you could put a book underneath and read it. If you're going to come down to the lectures, you pull it out. It's amazing. This is a device that I think is really going to be very, very helpful. The price of the Mojo is $1,500. I think that we're going to see others producing the same device. And I think others are going to produce it with memory so you could take pictures of what you're looking at. And I think the price is going to be down to under $1,000. But it's amazing. Isn't it good? Mm-hmm. Now, the next phase in terms of assistive technology are video, head-mounted video magnifiers. You know, people have always said, why can't they just make it in a pair of glasses? Well, that time is here. The new eyes is a video magnification set. You wear it on your head. There are virtual reality glasses that you wear. There's a high definition camera. And the batteries and the computers, everything is mounted into the headband of this. So you don't have to carry anything on your back. And I have tried this. I put it on. And it's actually very, very comfortable. It focuses far and near. It's in color. You could change the brightness, the contrast of the background and the foreground. If you want to, you could tell it to read for you. You say, New Eyes, take a picture and read it. Takes a picture and it starts reading for you.
Wow.
New Eyes, stop. New Eyes, resume. New Eyes, do an internet search. What? Yes, it can. It will search the internet for you.
Wow.
Where is the 2017 CCB conference? And the speech synthesizer in there, it will then find it for you. It's amazing. This device is $5,999, and they have a new upgrade version which has better speech for $6,295. So this is a device that has really been gaining a lot of notoriety recently. Now, eSight is a company that has been around a little bit longer than the New Eyes. I think New Eyes has been around for about 2 years, eSight has been around for about 5 years. And the eSight 3 was just released last month. And this device is really amazing. It also has a high-definition camera. You have your goggles. It is very, very lightweight. And this one is more lightweight because your computer and other battery pack, it connects to your belt. It has the ability to focus far and near, changes colors, it reads for you, does the internet. You could even have it find a movie for you. Go on the internet and find this movie for me. Let's watch this movie. What's nice about the eSight 3 is that the eSight 3 also has a battery. This battery will last 10 hours. Whereas if you're looking at something such as the new eyes, it usually needs charging after about 2.5 hours. But if you have a job that you need to use this for a longer period of time, the eSight is more effective. The eSight also has a wider field of view. And with the eSight, they have been able to lower the price of it from $16,000 to $9,999. But even better yet, Brian Meck, the president, he had just informed me that they now have funding sources that are able to help people who cannot afford it to purchase this at a very discounted price. So it may be very similar to the price of a conventional CCTV, $3,000 or $4,000. So this is a company that is really doing a lot of work, also not only in the development, but in terms of finding people who are willing to help people like you and I to acquire these. The new eyes and the eSight, they are available through the VA. The VA has been very, very helpful with that. Now, if we want to go even a bit more scientific into this high-tech stage, there's a company here in Sylmar called Second Sight. Now, at USC, Mark Humayun and Gene Dewan years ago, they implanted the first electrical chip behind the retina. Their thought was, what if we could have a camera that takes a picture of things, and it's going to send the signal right onto this electrical chip that we sewed onto the retina? Would it produce any vision? And lo and behold, it certainly did. They then developed the later one. This has 60 electrodes, and this produced even greater levels of vision. They have implanted it in over 200 people, mostly with retinitis pigmentosa. And it has even literally reversed total blindness. There have been some people who were totally blind who received this treatment. And with it, they're able to see their children crawling on the floor. They could differentiate a plate from a bowl when they're eating. They could read letters. So this is something that is extremely, extremely high tech. And they're taking it even to the next phase. This particular system is probably most often recommended for people with retinitis pigmentosa. And it is covered by Medicare in most states, but not California. I said, why not California? It was created here. There's so many people here who would benefit. He says, well, we're fighting it. But you may have to take a trip to Nevada to get this done. But I have spoken to people who've had it, and it has changed their lives amazingly. Another thing that Second Sight has done this year, they have said, well, what if a person doesn't even have an eyeball? What if there's an injury? What if we implant the chip onto the back of their brain? What would happen then? And in this system where they bypass the eye entirely. Oh, thank you. Thank you. They performed this surgery, and they found that it works. They found that it works. This means that children who were born with retinoblastoma, tumors in their eyes, and they had to have their eyes removed, that they could benefit from this type of a surgery. Or a person who was in a car accident and their eyes were so severely damaged that their eyes were removed. Or a person who suffered from a brain tumor and it just damaged their optic nerves. They could simply wear these really cool looking glasses and they would be able to see. It is really, 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 really amazing. So you might then say, hey, Dr. Bill, you're telling us all about these great developments. If these developments are so great, how come you're still blind? How come I haven't reached out for the Argus II retinal implant? How come I haven't gone for the Second Sight cortical stimulator? And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I was talking to my wife, June, about this. And I said, I think I'm going to go to another state and I'm going to get this done. I was talking to the folks at Second Sight and I said, the worst thing that could happen is it doesn't work for me. I'll be no worse off. So we were thinking about, all right, I'm going to get ready to do this. But I then went and I went to the Foundation Fighting Blindness Seminar. And this is where they were talking about all the new research, all the new clinical trials. And after I left that meeting, I then talked to an ophthalmologist friend of mine, Dave Boyer. And I said, Dr. Boyer, tell me what you think about these new clinical trials. He says, Bill, you would not believe what we're seeing. You would not believe what we're seeing. I don't believe what we're seeing. There's all of this talk about stem cells. And in the past, I thought, maybe these stem cells will be beneficial. Maybe it'll be helpful in the year 2050. But it's helping people today. It's helping people today. The first thing is that these stem cells are such that stem cells can be taken from your own body. They could take it from your own bone marrow. And so you don't even have to be put to sleep. They numb your skin, they inject a very tiny needle, and they're able to extract the stem cells. They could extract stem cells from fat cells. And once they have these stem cells can be injected to specific areas, and it will produce new cells. What we know is that when there are people who have damage to their heart, if you had two or three heart attacks, or you have atrial fibrillation, you have some severe damage to the heart, these stem cells can be injected into your heart, and it will regenerate that damaged tissue. If you have cancer to the liver, it could be injected into the liver, and it will regenerate healthy liver tissue. If you have abnormal pancreas, you can't produce insulin, it could be injected in the pancreas and redevelop the pancreas. So after learning all of these studies, then the question is, what about the eye? Well, the retina specialists, they developed techniques that you could take these stem cells and inject them in the eye, very close to the retina. One of the cases that I was most interested in when I heard this was about a woman. She's a young woman. She and her husband have two young children, and she is totally blind. And she went to the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, and she received the stem cell treatment. And what this did is it brought back some of her vision. She could literally see the faces of her kids. She could identify the picture of her husband now, whereas before she was totally blind. There are people who've had macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, retinitis pigmentosa, and these different stem cell treatments. Many times they're combined with other types of treatments, but these clinical trials have been very encouraging. Now you might say, well, where can I go and sign up? That's what I'm thinking. Should I go and do this now? Should I wait? I went to clinicaltrials.gov. You go to www.clinicaltrials.gov. And you could search for the clinical trials for your eye disease. You'll find that there are thousands of trials going on right now. Thousands. So with there being thousands, we don't know which ones are going to be the most successful. Phase one clinical trials are really just testing, is this a safe treatment? So if you volunteer for a phase one trial, you're going to be the person that agrees to undergo this experiment to see, is it safe for the eye? Phase two, they will then measure, did this treatment have any benefit, or did it degrade your vision in any way? And phase three, they again reevaluate the benefit of it. So with all this in mind, I think it's a little bit early to just jump into a clinical trial, but it's something that you could speak to your ophthalmologist about. There are many, many great doctors in the area who are doing this in private offices and at the institutions, the Jewelstein Eye Institute, Doheny Eye Institute, UC Irvine. There's many, many places. But I just talked to one of my patients. She's a young girl, about 22 years old. She's studying to become a teacher for the visually impaired. She and her two sisters have RP. And she said, you know, Dr. Bill, I'm not certain if I should try this clinical trial. And I talked to her last year sometime. And I said, I would recommend you talk to David Boyer. I trust this man. Well, I happened to see her at this conference that I went to last week, where they were talking about these clinical trials. And she came up to me and says, Dr. Bill, it's me. I got to tell you something. Thank you so much. I'm part of Dr. Boyer's trial. I have not been told specifically if I'm in the experimental set or the control set, but I know that I am in the experimental set. And the way that I know this, Dr. Bill, my vision has improved. My vision was getting worse month after month after month. And my peripheral vision on my right side, it has improved. And she started to get very emotional about it. And I was so happy for her too. So all in all, thank you for bearing with me in my voice and speaking so slowly. But all in all, I hope that today's lecture, this is a fantastic topic that Bernice came up with that we would talk about today. Because in relatively 40 to 50 years, I think Salmon invented that video magnifier about 1978 or so. The world of technology and low vision aids has just skyrocketed. And now all of this Star Trek type of biotechnology, it's here. So I am waiting to get a little bit more guidance from my eye doctors about these clinical trials. I believe that with the stem cells, it looks like the quality of vision that we may gain from it is the best of them all. So thank you very much. Bernice.
Dr. Bill, you're the usual wonderful presentation.
Thank you, Bernice.
Thank you for coming. I'm sorry you were having your laryngitis issue, but it was really wonderful to hear what you said.
Thank you. I don't know how you wanted to run this. I know we had till 5:30, but was there going to be a joint other meeting in here too?
At 6 o'clock, the board of the California Council of the Blind is going to have a dinner meeting here.
Oh.
And I don't know the time now, but are there any questions that anybody else has?
Yes, I want to ask.
Okay. Is somebody running a microphone around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Bill, is it true or not the by using magnify devices weakens the vision in the long run?
Yeah. The question is, will the use of magnifiers what? Reduce your vision in the long run?
Magnifier.
No way. Not at all. People have said that for years, and no, that is not true. If there's something that makes your life easier, use it. Go ahead and use it. What we do know about things that can make your vision worse are, number one, the blue wavelengths of light from light bulbs in the sun. That's why we say to use those kinds of filters that will filter out the blue light and the ultraviolet light. Number two, there have been clinical trials that have been very important. If you have macular degeneration, dry macular degeneration, we know the most effective way to control that is with the use of vitamins. However, if a person who has perfectly healthy eyes takes that quantity of vitamins that a person with macular degeneration would take, those vitamins could be very, very toxic to your overall health. It could cause damage to the liver, and it could even cause you to be dead. So you don't want to take too many vitamins unless you're under the supervision of your doctor. And I think the third thing that most often impacts the vision of people with low vision is that we get to a point where we don't go to the eye doctors anymore. The doctor tells us nothing more could be done. I can't do any surgery. These are the strongest glasses I could make you. You're using magnifiers or CCTVs that work for you. So you figure, why do I need to go in? Well, the most important reason to go in is that people with one eye disease can develop another eye disease. There's so many people that I have seen over the years who have retinal conditions, and they later develop glaucoma, and they never knew they had it. So protect your eyes with sunglasses. Be careful to not take too many vitamin supplements unless you consult with your doctor. And you want to get your eyes checked every year.
And don't smoke.
Oh, smoking.
Don't smoke.
Is that Bernice's husband there?
Yes.
I recognize it. Yes, doctor? Right. Don't smoke.
Don't smoke.
Doctor, Bill? The second part was the magnifier I have and I've been using for a while. The reason I ask, because now it's harder for me to read my labels on my medicine bottles. And before, I do have the magnifier with the LED light, but now it's harder to read as I was reading it easier, say a year and a half. I do have glaucoma, and I am a diabetic. But like I said earlier, 2-3 years ago, I was able to read it easier, and now it's a little more difficult to read with that same magnifier.
Okay. The first question, is the light of the magnifier still working?
Yes.
One of the things that happens is that with magnifiers, many times the intensity of the light, it diminishes within 3 years. So that's one possibility. The second thing is that for diabetes, it's also possible that the lens of your eye becomes a little bit clouded. That is called a cataract. And the cataract will change your glasses prescription. So it'll be really helpful for you to go back to your eye doctor, have him evaluate you for the cataract and new glasses, and then to check to see if you need a new bulb. Now, do I know you?
I am a student volunteer at Braille for the past 7 years.
Oh, great.
But I believe I met you in one of our volunteer luncheons.
Okay, because I'm just saying, your voice sounds so familiar to me.
Also, doctor, I see my glaucoma specialist every 3 to 4 months. I have been doing that for the past 3 years, and I do keep my numbers down on my sugar. And that's why I asked. But about the light bulb, it is about 2 years old, my magnifier. I didn't know it would default my vision.
No.
The light bulb, the bulb on the magnifier itself, the LED light.
Yes.
So that might make a difference then.
Yes.
It makes a difference.
Yes.
And I'll have it checked and replaced.
And if you haven't seen your ophthalmologist, go see your ophthalmologist again.
Oh, and I did have cataract works before, so.
You did?
I have, yes. And it did give me better vision. This was about 6 years ago. But like I said, I do see my glaucoma on a 3 to 4 month every.
I'm going to convince you I can't talk.
But thank you.
Okay, yeah. Even though if you have already had cataract surgery, this is important too. Sometimes the capsule that holds the lens in the eye, that lens sometimes gets clouded. The artificial lens capsule has to then be cleaned. So that could be done too. the capsule yet.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
Dr. Bill, hello, Dr. Bill and DeBrenice. This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker. And
Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker?
Yes, hello.
Oh my gosh, I'm nervous.
Well, I'm with the CCLV and CCLVI and would just like to follow up on what Dr. Bill was saying about the CCLVI Dr. Samuel Janinski Video Magnifier Award, as we are both on the committee. And I'd encourage anybody who is interested to go to the website, www.cclvi.org, and click on the link, Dr. Janinski Request Access, for the award program. It is open right now, but you need to do it quickly because it closes April 10th, Monday. If you request access, you'll get a username and password. You need to wait for confirmation, and then you can log in and complete the application online. There are 4 different vendors this year that are awarding video magnifiers, some of them that Dr. Bill spoke about today, including New Eyes, the one that you wear and you can access and so forth, describes things through the eyeglasses. There's also the Merlin or the Acrobat reader from Enhanced Vision. Clearview Plus, donated by John Wolf at iTech Low Vision, and then Clover 5 Plus, which is a handheld video magnifier as well. So I'd encourage anybody who resides in the United States to go ahead and to go to the www.cclvi.org website to apply. This is a great opportunity. It is open to all individuals, and we've awarded from age 6 years old to 82 years old. So it is an open process for all individuals, and good luck.
Great. Thank you.
Dr. Bell?
Yes.
I have a question. My name is Lupi Medrano. I'm totally blind, lost all my vision last year as well. And back in 95, when I started losing my sight, I divorced. I had 2 kids, 4 and 6 years old. And I had to make a decision about what I wanted to do in my life. And so I either was going to become a prisoner in my own home or get out there and live my life. I obviously decided to get out there and live my life. But I want you to talk on the stigma associated with using the cane, because I know there's a lot of people sometimes who don't want to use the cane because they're embarrassed or for whatever reason. But if you can talk to that, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, that's a very, 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 very good topic to talk about. And the question is, what about the white cane? So many people have so many different thoughts about the white cane. I remember when I was becoming visually impaired, my dad says, "Hey, well, you better get one of those white canes or I'll make one for you. I'll just paint it white and put red on the front of it." And he goes, "That way everybody will know that you're blind and they'll get out of your way or they'll help you." And I thought, is that what he really thinks the white cane is for? My dad really thought that the purpose of the white cane was so that others would know that I was visually impaired. And as I then started to receive orientation and mobility training, I learned the benefit of that white cane. That cane is amazing in how it gives you so much information. It helps you to walk so much more safely. And with that white cane, I didn't trip or stumble over those concrete little things in the parking lot. I didn't trip going up and down stairs and things as much. And it was so great that I was able to walk like that. But for me, there's no way in the world was I going to be seen walking with a white cane. I'm Dr. Bill. I don't want to use a white cane. I would walk around Santa Monica and people would say, "Hey, Dr. Bill, aren't you Dr. Bill? You're my doctor." Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to walk around Santa Monica with a white cane and people are going to throw nickels and dimes at me because they think I'm a homeless blind person. My ego was just so big. And I don't know really what I thought. I just knew that if I was blind Dr. Bill, people were going to think a lot less of me than they were thinking of me when I was able to see. And it was really quite a while before I became completely comfortable walking with a cane. And after I made that decision to use the cane, I came to that conclusion myself. We were on vacation. It wasn't a real nice vacation, but we were someplace in Irvine. My wife, June, and our two kids, and my daughter would always walk with me. And we'd walk together, you know, pretty good, and I didn't have a cane or anything like that, but I could tell based on how she's walking if we're coming to stairs or whatever. We were coming into the parking structure, we're going down these steps, and I tumbled. And she started rolling, and I think I rolled on top of her, and she is crying, and she is hurt, and oh, I felt so bad. But that was one of the things where I then kind of realized, you know what? Your wife, or your husband, or your kids, or your friends, they should not be in more danger just because my ego doesn't let me use a cane. If I had a cane, the chances of me knocking over my daughter like that would have been much less. So I had to change. You see, I have such a big ego that it really affected how I behaved as a person with low vision. And after these years, I became totally blind in 2009. Now it's 2016, so it's been about 13 years that I've been low vision or blind. This whole experience, it has been very good. It has been very good for me because it has truly helped me to realize what is important out there, how lucky I am to have a wife who brings me to these events, or my kids, that they aren't embarrassed to be with me. I really thought that my kids would be embarrassed to be with a blind dad. They don't want to go out to eat with you, Dad. You're a blind guy. And I learned so many truths over the years. And so I hope that if any of you are struggling with using the cane, take it out more often. If you want to, get a cane for your sighted friends. You guys could all go out as a bunch of blind people, even though that they actually have vision. You'll soon realize that the cane is a wonderful thing, and people treat you wonderfully when you do have a cane. And I think that once you could get over that, you realize that your behavior, the way that you act, the way that you communicate, it really impacts the lives of others. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of angry blind people out there. I was one of those angry blind people who wouldn't leave my home. Or if I did leave my home, sometimes I would get angry with people because I would expect them to be courteous or to get out of my way. But they don't know that I'm visually impaired. But now if I go places and I talk to people or I thank them for letting me go first, they realize that not all blind people are angry. They're just doing what they need to do in their own way.
Turn me on. There we are. That's Roger Peterson, Dr. Bill. And I just wanted to mention that what you just said is an area that has to do with a larger issue in the whole field of blindness. That has to do with, seems like a lot of blind people and a lot of other people think that we either have to fight for blind people's rights and blind people using canes and getting proper training or something, or we have to fight for a cure. And that they're sort of somehow opposed to each other. And, you know, Mike May, whom I'm sure you know about, proved that the best way to accept a cure is to, whatever the nature of his cure is now, I don't know, is to be the best blind person you can while you're waiting for the cure, not to sit in the rocking chair and wait for the cure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
We only have a moment more here. Any other questions? I want to thank everybody for coming, and I want to make a comment that the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision is doing some changes, and one is that last Friday we took on an 800 number, and we need to do some other things with it, because, you know, 800 numbers, Sprint is no longer going to control 800 numbers, so we have to move it on to another entity. But we, in doing so, we are going to have more communication between our members and people with low vision. And Dr. Bill, I know, is going to participate greatly on that with us. Yes, you know, Dr. Bill started talking with us when he was fully sighted, and it's been more than 15 years ago. And he's come a long way, yes. So, listen, thanks everybody for coming, and thanks, Dr. Bill.
Thank you, Dr. Bill.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me, and enjoy the conference. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.